Morning, everybody.
Today we'll be reading Psalm 1. When your delight is in the law of the Lord, and you meditate on his law day and night, you will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever you do prospers. May the Lord add his blessing to our gathering today.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks, brother. I'm wired. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. My name is Dan. It's just wonderful to see you here. I received a beautiful note after church last week, and it said this: thank you. I really felt like I was visiting friends and family at church this morning. Someone even chose to sit with me during coffee time. You are part of a very special church. I've heard how friendly and welcoming people feel even the first time they attend, and I've never heard about that in any other church. And she goes on to say thank you. So from me to all of you, thank you for making people feel deeply loved and welcome when they come here. We want to make no mistake about it. When you come into this building and when you meet us on the street corners and around town, we want you to encounter Jesus, become a fully devoted follower of him, and be conformed into his image. Those are the three steps that we want everyone to focus on as we interact. Encounter him, follow him, allow him to transform you into his image. And as you heard read, I love that scripture, you'll be like a tree planted by streams of living water, yielding your fruit in season. And today, as we kick off the year, I love kickoff Sundays. We have one in September and one in January. Fresh start. I love the idea of taking the phone and pushing reset or restore factory settings. Isn't it wonderful that every morning you can wake up and say to the Lord Jesus, can I have a fresh start? Can I erase the past? I've said and thought and done things that haven't pleased you, and could you push the reset button, Lord, and make me new? My wife and I were in downtown Oakville yesterday, and I love to walk on our pier, and we have a couple of beautiful places that we like to share with you, and the leaves are changing, so it's going to talk about trees today. Trees planted by streams. And as the leaves change, some of you are lamenting the beach and the heat, and I feel your pain a little bit, but I've transitioned to the beauty of the fall. And we have a lot of nice places to visit. You can go to the next one, Patrick. A lot of nice places to visit. So if we haven't had a chance to deeply connect, please, we'll come and see you, or you can visit us, and my wife and I would really like to get to know you better. And finally, final slide is trees by streams of living water. About a two-minute walk from here is a pier in downtown Oakville. My wife and I walk it three times a week. But yesterday, as we were walking, a very handsome young man and his girlfriend were walking down the pier. It is a multicultural society. It is the city. It is very diverse. Lots of opinions. Lots of slogans on t-shirts. And I was absolutely shocked. Full of people. This young man's t-shirt, I'm no word of a lie, in huge bold letters: you must be born again. Now, I saw a shirt the other day on the back that was a different style of marketing. It had a theme on it. And I asked the person, you know, tell me about that theme, and seemed to have a bit of a God bent to it, but wasn't sure. That conversation was a little awkward. I walk up to this kid, you must be born again. And I said, dude, my wife's like, don't do this. Right? My wife's not here. She's at Cowboy Church playing her guitar this week. So my dear wife, I'm the lonely goat herd again this week. And my dear wife says, oh no, here he goes, engaging people. Can't we just go for a walk? And I said, dude, his girlfriend hides behind him right away because I guess I look a little intimidating. I said, is that like a branding marketing thing, or do you know what that's all about? He did not hesitate. He goes, are you kidding? You must be born again by the living Lord Jesus Christ. Boom. He's about 17 years old in downtown Oakville. I hate to break the news to you, young man, but that ain't cool anymore, right? The born againers. And I looked at this kid who no doubt was brought up in a school system that didn't acknowledge God, no doubt went to college where you're not getting a lot of God, no doubt is in a job situation. And I put my hand on his chest and I said, brother, may you never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And we want to be really bold as we kick off our year and not ashamed of what Jesus has done. A man who comes and dies for you and rises again to give you life is incredibly exciting. And I don't know how you're going to communicate that, because you might be a little bit more like his girlfriend Penelope, who hid behind him and was a little scared. He goes, my girlfriend's really shy. I go, well, what's your name, Penelope? What's your name, Philip? And here, Philip and Penelope, very different. And you may have a heart that's a little gentler and quieter. That's totally fine, like my wife. All she has to do is smile and people go, I want to know your Jesus. I got to kind of do a bit more communicating to get through this face. It sometimes does not look like it's saved. And I was thrilled that this young man was confident. And I said to him, you know, where do you worship? He says, I go to a Serbian Orthodox church. Couldn't be any different than ours. There's a movement in the world right now. They're called Lat Cats Orthodoxy. You know what the young kids want right now? They want someone to look them in the eye and say, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, period. Not a way, your truth, and some esoteric life. No, the way, the truth, the life. I was inspired by his boldness. And we can disagree and we can sort of argue with some of the issues. But if we don't stand on the fact that our Lord Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, returning in white linen with an army behind him in white linen, Revelation 19, read it. With a sword and a tattoo, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's coming back as the king in white linen. Guess what? Someone shows up in white linen to fight, do not challenge that guy. That's a confident person, right? White linen is like, we're celebrating victory here before everything starts. So as the song says, there is victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me. He bought me with his redeeming love and blood. He loved me before I knew him. No one comes to the Father unless the Son, unless the Father draws him. He loved me ere I knew him. Now all my life is due him. He plunged me, love that phrase. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. So I'm going to say at the beginning of this service, have you entered into a friendship with Jesus? We always use the doxology for the end. I'm going to use it at the beginning. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you for always. I could close in prayer and leave, but I have prepared a sermon. I'm a little jacked up today, just in case you're wondering. I need my wife. She's my Ritalin and my Adderall that just centers me. All right. Trees. Trees are really interesting. I got this information from a beautiful friend named Richard. in the middle of a pandemic, instead of deciding to get lost in the polarity of the pandemic, I call it, let's just pick a team and fight. He got alone in the thin space with the Lord, and he went out in his forest where he lives in Seattle and looked at the sequoias. You know, there are some sequoia trees that are so big and so majestic. I learned this morning, Rod, that you take one of your cook's buses and park it behind the biggest sequoia tree in Seattle, and all you can see is the front and the back bumper. That's how wide they are, 30 stories high. And he started to look at the majesty of the trees. And he got into a place where God could speak to him gently, and he learned four things, and he said, if I just focus on these four things that I learned from the metaphor of the trees, God's going to keep me really centered in him. And the four things are simply this. Trees are totally dependent on everything that comes from above. You ever watch trees' leaves turn in the sun and just totally focus? And then when the rain comes, they're filled totally, totally dependent on a source from above them. Deeply rooted in nutrients below them. Incredibly connected to the forest around them. And bearing fruit in season. I'm going to challenge you today, my friends, after this sermon, next time you're out for a walk and someone says, how you doing? You're going to point to a tree and say, I'm doing pretty good. I was thinking about what was said on Sunday. Trees received from above, rooted below, connected, bearing fruit. Looked up some beautiful statistics on trees. They're healers. One quarter of all medicine comes from tropical forest plants, including two-thirds of all cancer-fighting drugs come from trees. Trees heal. Trees are givers. Trees redistribute up to 95% of their water they absorb. They redistribute. They're comforters. You know, one tree is equivalent to two of your central air conditioners of cooling. Isn't that amazing? They're multipliers. There's over 60,000 versions of trees, and they keep multiplying. I live in Oakville, and I look at that acorn, that small oak acorn that falls down this time of year, and all those irritating squirrels that drive me crazy, that get into my garden. Oh, just eat the acorns and stay out of my garden. Turn into these majestic, massive trees. They provide, listen to this, 1.6 billion people in the world depend on the rainforests and trees as resources for their livelihoods, their food, their life. Finally, they're sustainers. They sustain. An oak tree absorbs from the rain and the soil 100 gallons, 360 liters a day. Redwoods can drink from the rain 160 gallons, 650 liters of water per day. And the sequoia, the big ones out west, when they're transpiring, they can transpire up to 1,200 liters a day. It's an incredible picture of what God has built into you and me to bring fruitfulness to a world that needs Jesus more than ever. And here's one of the ways we do it. David says, I will. It's an act of the will. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, the mountains. Where does my help come from? Provision, strength, help, nurture. Where does my help come from? The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Isn't that beautiful? When Rod was praying today, I actually heard this verse in his prayer. Oh, Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you've established praise. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers. What a beautiful God. He's personal. His fingers have made the heavens, and his fingers have made you. He says, what am I that you are considerate of me? An upward trajectory. Trees are always looking up, and so should we. How's your trajectory? In down, concerned, that's okay. That happens. But if your trajectory is always, always bouncing back to him, you're going to be fine. Patrick, can you put that slide back up before the last song with the net? It was a net and someone standing on a dock. Is that available in the PowerPoint? I just want you guys to, I walked in and I saw that, and there's a beautiful verse in the Bible that relates to that. Does anyone know it? Louder? Yeah, I've called you to be fishers of men. What is that person doing? So we're used to, right? Fisherman in the house. You know what he's doing? You talk about an upward trajectory. He's taking all of his cares. And I know there's a lot of cares in this room. A lot of cares. I have them. You have them. And it says, you take your cares and look at that net. Do you know how hard you got to throw that to get that thing to perfectly cast? It takes years to learn to do that well in the ancient Middle East. That individual is just going, and the image is, cast your care on him because he cares for you. An upward trajectory. Trees receive from above, and they just are completely dependent on the God who made them and the God who cares about them. You, my friends, are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he prepared in advance for you to walk in. Since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated. Set your mind on things above. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear above with him in glory. What a great hope. Every time this week you're looking at trees, they receive from above. Next thing they do is they're deeply rooted. Deeply, deeply rooted. Colossians 3:5. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him. How do you receive Jesus? Like a child, like that little baby just with mom there making that beautiful little noise. We love it when babies cry, by the way. Keep them here, bring them here, let them bawl. I love the sound of little kids. The more the merrier, because we need more in here. So that little baby, just look at the children, how dependent they are on the moms. And the whole idea is God is saying to us, you simply look at what Jesus has done, what he's created, what he's made, how he died, how he rose. You become a Christian by saying thank you. How many children at Christmas receive gifts from mom and dad and they just thank you? You can't do anything to deserve it. He lived the life only he could live. He died the death you should have died. And he rose again so you could believe in him. So all you need to do is say thank you. Thank you. My friend's got his hands up over there. I love it. Thank you. Just as you received him. That's the part we understand. But where it gets difficult is when it says, I want you to take that simplicity and stay rooted. That's the part where we got to work out a bit more. Simply waking up every morning, Lord Jesus, I need to be grounded and rooted in you. Here's my hands, my eyes, my ears, my tongue. Use it to your glory. Stay rooted and built up. There's so much nutrients in the roots of soil. Love this. I pray. You want a great prayer? Ephesians 3. You can use it this week on all of us. Paul says, I pray out of his, Jesus, out of his glorious riches, that he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, in the Old Testament or the Old King James, in the inner man, inner woman, inner person, little boy, little girl, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you be rooted and established in love. Rooted and established in love. I got a great little acronym for love this week from my favorite Bible teacher, Charles Swindoll. He He said this, little acronym for love. Listen, overlook faults, value everyone, and express love practically. Isn't that beautiful? Love. Listen. Boy, it's been an amazing year of learning to listen because I like to talk and I'm learning, and thank you for being patient with me. Overlook faults. You will be slighted when you leave this room. Someone will walk by and maybe not say the thing that you want them to say. You'll get slighted, and it's really easy to build up all those slights and to become a bitter, angry person. Overlook faults. Value everyone. Look around every week. Maybe sit somewhere a little bit different. Go open the balcony there. Kev looks a bit lonely. He needs a little encouragement up there, the big fella. And be available for others. And express love practically. You know, it's easy to say, hey, love you, praying for you. Love you, praying for you. It's amazing our habit around here. Just this morning, someone comes up and says, hey, can you pray for me? And it's funny how every time someone asks to pray, the same person's with me, and boom, they pray every time. It's just wonderful. And he says this, yeah, rooted and grounded in love and thankfulness. Deep roots in the Word of God, in your faith, in your family, stay rooted. Receive from above, stay rooted. This is my favorite little theme. Connected. If you look at a forest from underneath, those roots don't only go down and out, but they're connected. That's why when the storm comes, those forests stay pretty tight. Where the shallow-rooted ones and the ones who aren't alone aren't connected, those trees come down during storms. Promise you something, friends. We are going to go through some storms. Emotional, physical, financial, it's coming. I want us to be connected so deeply that when the storms come from without, we stay together. So this, you're gonna love this. So yesterday, my hairdresser calls. His name's John. We went through cancer together, and John calls and says, "Hey, can you come over right now?" His receptionist, 9:30. Yes, I'm preparing this sermon. I got a little window of time, so I rush over to get a haircut. And I'm thinking, okay, John, I'm preparing my sermon. Can I give it to you? He's a Roman Catholic guy, loves talking about the Lord. So I tell him, he goes, I got some for you. Yeah, tell me about trees. He goes, well, when I was in San Francisco, big redwood trees, our guide told us about something that happens underneath the root systems of trees, that when the storms begin to rage and the trees start to get pushed, if you use artificial intelligence, you can go into the ground. You're not going to believe this. The roots actually spread and they hang on to each other. They intertwine. They know the storm's coming and they connect deeper. You know what happens in most churches when the storm comes? I'm out. I can't handle it. And people walk. That happens. Please, just hang on. We need each other. You know what else the trees do? If there's a contagion in the air or some bug that's coming in, they literally release this little gas and they warn all the other trees and the defense mechanisms start. It's just extraordinary what a picture it is of what we could be in Christ. John says they're all connected. Well, I thought maybe I should ask the receptionist. Christine, what do you know about trees? Oh, John goes, oh, she's a big environmentalist. So John says, oh, she loves talking about this. Christine, hairdresser, receptionist, she says, oh, they bring stability, no erosion, and they're so pretty to look at in the fall, and my kids love climbing in them. I like that. I like that image of Christianity. Stability, fun. We got to put the fun back in fundamentalism, friends, right? Like I said, sometimes your face doesn't look saved and you need to tell it. When people look at you, do they see salvation or do they see misery? So we got to smile once in a while and be happy. And she said, and they're fun to climb in. There's joy there. This is neat. John 15, just in case you're wondering, we are in the Bible here. If you remain in me, abide in me. No branch can bear fruit by itself. Abide in the vine, stay in the tree. If you remain in me and I in you, you will. It's an absolute. You will bear fruit. You will. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's the source. Receive from above, stay rooted in Christ, deeply connected. The source is the sacrificial love of Christ. You know, I heard an amazing statement yesterday. If you don't invite the Lord to inhabit the temple of your body, something else will. Something else will. When David is speaking about his trajectory towards Jesus, above, above, above. I looked up the word above in the Psalms. What a beautiful sermonette. Above other gods, above idols, above me, above the nations, above the skies. Over and over, David acknowledges God is above it all. And in the midst of our deepest pain, and when we say that phrase that lamenting in the Psalms, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed, churning within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Amazing. From above, rooted, deeply connected. One more quick vignette, which I find is just so cool. This is from my buddy Rich, who did the research. If you take a chainsaw and you put it to the root of any tree in a forest, and they got these neat little diodes all hooked up to the tree, when that chainsaw touches the root of that tree to cut it down, it knows my time is up. And it literally sends all of its nutrients into the root system and sacrificially gives everything it has to others in the forest. Greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for a friend. Our gospel is a gospel of sacrificial love to everyone, including our enemy. Nothing speaks to a hurting, dying world stronger than a Christian who suffers. You know, even that word is pejorative. Oh, Christians. That was a pejorative, negative term in the early centuries of Christ, because Jesus said, I'm going to dwell in you and be your God. And they said, oh, they think they're little Christs, so they call them Christians. Do you know what the first name for Christians were? It wasn't Christians. They called them people of the, yeah, people of the way. Because Jesus said emphatically, I'm the way, follow me. I'm embodiment of truth, listen to me. I am the very life of God, abide in me. If you want to know what that word abide means, it's really powerful. A tree abides in soil and a fish abides in the sea. Trees abide in soil, fish abide in the ocean. Pull a tree out of the soil, pull a fish out of the ocean, that's you and me outside of Christ. And it's not pretty. Abide in the vine. Finally, fourth thing, trees are consistently providing. It's my favorite too. This is a beautiful part of the scriptures. Bearing fruit. The Jeremiah passage, I don't know where that went, but it's somewhere. And it is a tree bearing fruit in season and always. That's the language. So when a tree bears fruit, we got shelter, fruits and nuts for those nasty squirrels, homes, nesting, erosion control, stability, oxygen, homes, material for every use, health, healing, life in real time. That's what a tree provides when it bears fruit, and you get to be that to your neighbors. And I love this part. I was thinking about that. The what's obvious to us. What does it provide? Much. The who is interesting. Can you imagine a tree looking down with its fruit and its leaves and its shelter, going, oh, you voted for that party? I'm not giving you shade. I'm not loving you. No fruit bearing for you. A tree, you're a Dallas Cowboy fan like Dave Field? Sorry, you can't be in this tree. There's no discrimination. The tree just bears fruit for whoever is around. Oh, there it is. Thanks. You can read. The who is whoever. Whoever, Jesus says, whoever will come to me, I won't cast out. As many as received him, to them he gave power to become children of God. So who's ever gathering under the tree with you as a Christian, may it be said of you what it was said about Jesus. I can't believe you're hanging around them. May it be said of you, may you be accused, wherever you are, of those things that Jesus was. I can't believe he's with them. And finally, for you busy, busy people, you ask anybody, I promise you, anybody in this room, how are you doing? Oh, I'm so busy. I'm so busy. School's starting. Oh, the kids, oh, the job. It's a default. It's a default setting. And here's your next question. And you can blame me. I don't mind getting blamed for things because it's probably true. You can literally tell them. Are you busy or are you fruitful? Man, there's a big difference. A tree by beautiful streams of living water doesn't, oh, I have to love Jesus today. Oh, I have to be around God's people. Oh, I'm just so struggling. No, we're human beings, not human doings. And we get a lot of dignity out of the doing. So I'm going to take the Nike company that made millions of dollars, billions, on the phrase, I got a better phrase for you. Just say no. Just say no. I love the Kevin Horsberg default setting when you ask him to do something. Just going to spend a little bit more time in prayer on that. You know, a year goes by, I'm still praying. But when no one's looking and you're in need, it's the first guy there. First guy there. Bears fruit in season. Be able to say no, be able to get in the thin space with the Lord, and then you're going to be really, really fruitful. I was in the Austrian Alps, and I actually wanted to see Edelweiss. Edelweiss, Kim, I need you. Edelweiss. Listen to that voice. Thank you, Kim. That's better. Don't miss next week. Kim's singing for baptism Sunday. Thank you, my friend. I went up into the mountains, and I saw this incredible little plant behind a rock, unseen. Nobody knew it was there, and it's glorifying God. I see my old pastor friends, Jim and Gary, and they're in a new season of life. It's not as busy, but boy, oh boy, it's fruitful. Because when you walk with God for a long time and you've been through some pain, you listen really well. You listen really well. And you've got time. You got time to hang around after coffee time and talk. It bears fruit in season, and I'll finish with this. It bears fruit in season. My friend Mark Buchanan wrote a beautiful book. I love his tagline. Being with Jesus, the book is called Spiritual Rhythms. If you want to read it, it's dynamite. Being with Jesus every season of your soul. I love spring. Reset, everything's new. I love the spring garden and tearing everything out and just seeing those daffodils and tulips come up. I love the spring. It's fresh and it's new. Clearly, Rod with his suntan loves the summer. Falling asleep on the beach. Summer, there's summer people. And they just love the heat of the sun and what it does for them. I'm a spring person. There's summer people. And you may be in the spring and the summer of your walk with Jesus. And wow, we celebrate with you. I see my two pals up in the balcony. Don't look. In the early stage. Don't look! In the early stage of their romance. And it's spring. And it's beautiful. And I want to encourage that expression. Love it when people are developing their relationship. But fall's coming and the leaves are changing and there's going to be some pruning and some pain. And then as I spoke this morning, the long, cold winter that my friend from Finland, northern Finland, where it's really cold, really long, is like, oh, it was really nice to be in Australia. Some of you have had a long, cold winter of the soul. And it's hard. And it's a lot longer than you ever thought it would be. The relationship pain, circumstantial pain, the person you love isn't changing. You look into your own soul and say, Lord Jesus, are these habits going to hang around my whole life? I hate to quote that great theologian, Bette Midler, but I have to. Just remember, in the winter, far beneath the bitter snow, lies the seed that with the sun's love, finishing with me, in the spring, becomes the rose. Some of the best fruit. Trust me on this one, I'm old enough to know. Not quite old enough, but old enough to know. The best fruit comes from long, cold, dark winters, and the most beautiful flowers emerge out of really difficult pain. Ask around. Annie's going to make it, Roll. But it's been a painful week for my brother, Roll, because his wife just had heart surgery, but she made it. And spring's coming, and a better day's ahead, and we bless you, and we pray for your beautiful wife. And we thank you for your faithfulness to us. You know your own pain. But hang in there in the winter. Centuries of political leadership, wars, tragedy, pain, come and go. And the tree receives from above, from God himself, stays rooted in Christ, connected to the body, bearing fruit in season. And sometimes you just need to have a season of rest. Others, like me, need a kick in the pants to get going. You'll know, get in the thin space. God will tell you what to do. Heavenly Father, we love you. We need you more than ever. And I pray this week we would be bold in our love for people, our conversations. May we point people to the source of all good, you, our God and our Father. May we teach them to be rooted in our Lord Jesus Christ, connected to the family of God who loves them, bearing fruit in season, especially when it hurts. We love you. We thank you for our church, and thank you for all you're doing among us. Amen and amen. Praise team's going to come, sing a song, and then Rodney will take it from here.